following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
My name is David, as Hans said. Yeah. If you guys have your Bibles, why don't you open them up to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. It's always a treat when I get to spend some time with y'all. I absolutely love my youth. I love you guys. I do. Yeah, thank you, Sean. but it's always a blessing to be able to share with you guys. Every summer, I look forward to getting to teach at Resonance. It's been a really cool thing. I want to pray. I want to start off and just ask that God would really do the most with our time tonight. So would you guys join me in prayer? Father, grateful. God, we're grateful for your pursuit. As Hans was saying, it's funny. We were just talking about this earlier with the different pastors on staff, that you're a God who just relentlessly pursues. Everybody who knows you, God, truly we're standing proof that you're a God who pursues us. And so we are grateful for that. Lord, would you bring understanding tonight? Would you turn hearts to you tonight? Would you fill me, help me get out of the way and just allow you to do what you want to do, God? We thank you, we love you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. 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 It's been roughly 10 years now since God did something incredibly undeniable in my life. He showed me the emptiness of life apart from him. He showed me the importance of doing life together, or just really not doing life alone. He showed me that whatever got me this far in life was no longer going to get me anywhere. He changed me. Jesus Christ absolutely changed me. My friends and I used to say, Jesus ruined our lives in the most beautiful way possible. Messed up our plans, right? Ruined our lives in the most beautiful way possible. He shattered all illusions that I could do this thing on my own. He really did. But Jesus has taught me, and has taught many of you guys as well, that apart from him, we can't do anything. Jesus changed me, and anybody who knew me in high school or knew me as a teenager, if they saw me now, they'd be like, what is this, right? What on earth happened? Everybody could be able to tell from who I used to be. But before this change came, many storms laid waste to my life. I mean, every avenue, my relationships with just about everybody, family, friends. God, in his love, permitted these things, these storms, to level me, to bring me to a place of deep brokenness. And it was in this season of brokenness, to be honest, it seemed like it was endless, that I saw Jesus clearly. You know, I think it's in Job where he's like, you know, I've heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Something clicked. And it wasn't until this deep season of brokenness that I saw Jesus more clearly. I saw his love for me. And I'm not talking about just when I read in Scripture, which I did see his love for me. But I was able to kind of look back and see God's hand in what I would deem the garbage of my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he has literally always been here. He has been here the entire time. I saw that he was a God of compassion. I saw that he was a merciful God. And I literally have a moment in my mind right now. Wouldn't be really beneficial for me to go into it. But this moment of just absolute brokenness, and I tell my wife this a lot. I'm so grateful for this specific moment I'm talking about, but I don't ever want to go back there. I don't know if you guys have those moments in your life where you're like, God, thank you for redeeming this thing right here. I don't want to go back there, right? But because God is loving, because he doesn't waste the stuff that we go through, He uses it. And I have this idea or this image of this spot that I was in. And I remember being so broken and feeling so completely alone, isolated from everyone and everything. And I really felt like I had no place in this life anymore. It was kind of one of those moments. Really dark. And I was burdened. I felt condemned over how I had been living my life and really making sin a priority, just practicing it in every way I possibly could. And it was in that moment that God reminded me of who He was. He reminded me of who He was. And I remember in that moment confessing to God, crying, probably like the super ugly crying, just broken, crying, confessing to God, would you forgive me? Please, God, please forgive me for all that I did. Forgive me, cleanse me, right? And little did I know that confession, right, that moment God would use as what we call like a stones of remembrance in our walks with Him that would literally change my life, and it still rings true today, and it's going to continue to ring true because God is a faithful God. He used that time in my life, that dark moment, that dark season, I should say, to bring about lasting change. Paul David Tripp, he's a author, pastor, he's just about everything, you know. He said this about change. He said, confession is the God-ordained portal to change. Confession is the God-ordained portal to change. And I think that's very consistent with what Scripture teaches us. Confessing our sins, repenting, pleading with God to restore us is biblical, and it's beautiful. And so is the change that God brings about when we genuinely turn to Him in humility, leaving no part of us hidden. And we just come to Him with who we are, the garbage, the whatever it is. I was talking to a brother earlier, and I was like, man, thank you so much for being real all the time. It's refreshing. Man, so many of us so often we can put on a face to try to please other people who are also putting on a face. It's crazy, you know? In our time together tonight, we're going to take a look at Psalm 51. We're going to see David, man after God's heart, pour his heart out in repentance. And we will come face to face with the reality that God truly can restore, I mean, truly restore and redeem the repentant, those who come to Him and confess. And we'll see that God can redeem the seasons that we believe were wasted. So if you guys would read along with me, Psalm 51 says this, "For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you were right in your verdict. You were right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous and burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." like so many of the Psalms, I mean, they're just, they're absolute gold mines, right? There's so much in here, and I'm just going to confess and say immediately, we're barely going to scratch the surface tonight. And so what I want to do is I'm going to be spending a little bit more time on some chunks, and other chunks we're just going to kind of read and comment on it. My challenge and encouragement for you is when you get home tonight or before you go to bed, reread this psalm and just ask God, God, would you continue to enlighten my eyes to your truth, to what you would have to say to me? Now, just to make sure we all caught the very, very, very beginning of that psalm, it gives us the context, it gives us the backdrop to why David is writing this. It says, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, we don't have time to go into that story that's found in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, but David sins in a massive, I mean, massive, massive way. It doesn't just affect him, it affects many other people. He commits adultery by sleeping with Bathsheba, who was married to another man, a man that was actually enlisted in David's army. He abused his royal authority. He engaged in deception and murder. There was corruption even there. And when all was said and done, he truly thought he had covered all his tracks and that nothing was going to link back to him. But because God is a God of love, God would not allow David to get away with what he did. And so he gave Nathan the prophet just this insight. And Nathan comes up to David and calls him out completely. And this is what leads to Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David had been completely found out. His sins were exposed and brought out into the light. Now, let me ask you guys a question, kind of rhetorical, but I'm going to ask anyways. Does it look like, just from these couple of verses right here, that David is hiding anything right now? No, he's not. He had been previously before Nathan called him out. Right now, we don't see a man who is hiding. He's not hiding behind anything. He's not trying to justify anything. This is a man who is painfully aware of how far he had actually fallen. And so instead of making excuses and running away from God, he turns and sprints to his God, right? I got two younger boys. I think of my son when I come home, Judah, and the kid just books it, right? And it's one of my favorite things in the world. And I just see David running. He had spent time running away from God, and he's like, no, I'm going to sprint even harder directly to God. God, have mercy on me. God, be merciful to me. I know I don't deserve it, right? But because your love cannot fail, would you have mercy on me? God, according to your compassion, please blot out my sin, my transgressions. Wash and cleanse me from my sin. David knew what it was like to live with hidden sin. And I'd say probably for a lot of us that is very true of who we used to be. Maybe it's true of us now. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions, this is David, and my sin is always before me. That's a profound verse. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. It is always before me. And I think it's safe to say, because we know that David was a man after God's own heart, that what he did plagued him. Verse 3, it is always before me. I cannot escape the reality of what I did. David was miserable. And again, as I just said, because he was a man after God's heart, and he had sin in his life that was unacknowledged and unrepented of. Like, he didn't repent of it. He knew there was nothing he could do to right the wrongs, so he threw himself again completely upon the mercy of his Creator. And I just want to pause here for a moment. I have to, right? And just plead with some of you. Sin has a way of figuring us out and finding us out. That's true. You can ask anybody who's walked with the Lord for even just a little bit of time. Sin finds us out. It does. Can I just say in love that if that's you tonight, if there is unconfessed sin. There's sin in your life, and you're walking around day in, day out, feeling miserable because you're just keeping this bottled in. I would just say tonight is the night. Let's not wait any longer. Confess it to Jesus, who already knows it, right? Says that before there's even a word on our tongue, God knows it all together. Confess it to Jesus, who already knows it, so times of refreshing may come. Throw yourself upon the grace and the mercy of Jesus and be blown away that he truly forgives and restores, right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If this isn't something you guys have memorized, like you got to jot that down. This is, you need this as a believer to have in your tool belt, I guess. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the God we serve. The God who fully knows us, knows the depths of our hearts, knows what we have done. And instead of just like smiting, right? Like we would do if we were God, we'd be like, oh, that guy did something. You know, he's done, right? God chooses to forgive. And man, that forgiveness cost Christ everything, cost him his life. Back to David in Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. As I read this section, I'm just seeing David just there's this continual acknowledgement of his desperate need for God. Right? David realizes that this cleansing of the soul, we're going to call it, right, could only be brought about by God forgiving his sins. There was nothing he could do. He couldn't work himself up to a place where now I'm feeling better about myself, or now what I did didn't happen, right? He knew he needed his God to absolutely forgive him. Create in me, verse 10, a pure heart. Many of us know this section, right? Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You don't delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. Thank you, Jesus. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous. And burnt offerings offered whole, then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is so incredibly powerful. I don't know if you're reading this and it's hitting you the same way it's hitting me. This is incredibly powerful. In David's confession, we see such a deep dependence upon God moving on his behalf. God, I can't create a pure heart in of myself. I have tried, I have failed, I need you. That's repentance. He is coming to God, acknowledging what he's done and asking for his help. God, please renew a steadfast spirit within me. Please renew an unwavering spirit within me. Humble reliance upon God's ability to do something. Please don't cast me away. There's a healthy level of just going, what I did was wrong. I messed up big time. God, please don't cast me away or take your Holy Spirit far from me or away from me. Completely unhidden and bare before the Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit. Sustain me, please. God, please sustain me. You guys sense his neediness here? How often he is saying things like this over and over again? This is the beauty in the brokenness. Right here. This is what we can call the blessing in the storm. This is, as we said in the beginning, God working in the heart of David, the reality that he can truly restore the repentant in heart and redeem the seasons we believe were wasted in life. This is why David was saying a different psalm, Psalm 32. He says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Happy is that man or woman whose transgressions have been completely forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." This wasn't just beautiful poetry for David. This wasn't just an outlet for him. This was a life-altering reality that he experienced. And I have to ask you guys tonight, have you experienced this? Life-altering, life-changing reality of forgiveness of sins. And I'm talking about like the real stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that doesn't matter how long ago it was, the things that you don't even want to think about because it almost brings you anxiety that you would have ever done that. Stuff that maybe your closest friends don't know about. The dear God, please don't ever let this come to light stuff. Have you experienced the life-changing reality of God forgiving that portion, which would be all of you, right, of your life? David, again, Psalm 51:3, "For I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me." Can I just say that whatever that is, if anything came to your mind, that one thing, that one sin, can I just say that Jesus Christ came down to forgive that fully, completely, without hesitation? He came to give you life in his name. He came to call you out of darkness. He came to call you out of your darkness. He came to call me out of my darkness and to his light, and to his marvelous light. And I would just say, guys, if any of you here thinks that you've gone too far, if anybody here thinks your story is done, then I don't think you understand the God who currently, right now, is pursuing after you, because that's what he does. Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, if you guys are into books, you got to read that, Gentle and Lowly. He says this about our Savior. I'm going to read this. I'm going to try to only read it twice because I get pumped on this. "Time and again, it is the morally disgusting, the socially reviled, the inexcusable and undeserving, who do not simply receive Christ's mercy, but to whom Christ most naturally gravitates." I want to read that last part again. "The inexcusable and the undeserving, who do not simply receive Christ's mercy, but to whom Christ most naturally gravitates. He is, by his enemy's own testimony, the friend of sinners." Dane Ortlund goes on to say, when you come to Christ for mercy and love and help in your anguish and perplexity and sinfulness, you are going with the flow of his own deepest wishes, not against them. That's the Savior that we're talking about. That's the God that we're talking about. Whatever sin, I would say, is keeping you from fellowshipping with your Creator, it's time to come in openness. We talk about this all the time in youth. I almost hope to a certain extent, it's like, bro, we get it, right? You talk about it too much. We say all the time that we value openness with ourselves, God, and others. Why? Because God works in crazy ways when we do that. Come to God in openness. It's time to be restored. Let us learn from the example of David. We cannot outrun sin. It's not going to happen. We can't run away from what we've done. I've heard it once, you know, there are times where we go through something or we've done something that's so bad or so dark or whatever it may be, and it was almost a picture of the sun going down. And what we do is we sprint so hard to chase after the sun that's going down this way, or it's going down, when really what we should do is embrace what happened, and instead of running to the sun that is setting, we run into the night knowing the sun's going to rise sooner than we're going to catch it. And I love that idea, embracing what happened, going, God, help, I'm confessing, would you have mercy on me, Lord? And again, knowing, as we looked at in 1 John 1:9, that God is faithful to forgive those who come in humility and ask for forgiveness. Romans 10, this is where I'm closing. Romans 10, 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. I'll read the last part. The same Lord is Lord of all. We're on level playing field here. And he richly blesses all those who come to him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guys, please don't wait any longer. I always heard growing up that one of the only regrets that a lot of believers have is not taking God at his word sooner. God's got, I wish I could list out and say, here's everything he has for you. I just know he has what's best. Don't wait any longer to turn to God in repentance. Confess to him with full assurance that he hears, he forgives, he cleanses those who genuinely come to him. I'm going to have Hans come back up. I want to pray. Father, not just me, God, we are grateful. We're grateful, God. The fact that you know the depth of what I've done, you know the depth of my struggles now, God. And you love me. And you love us. The fact that while we were your enemies, you would die for us is astounding. God, would you help me? Would you help us? If we've lost the wonder, would you restore that to us? Restore the joy of our salvation. Father, I specifically pray right now for anybody here that has the sin or has sin in their life that they are, I don't know if it's they're holding on to it, God, or if they're hiding from it or if they're trying to outrun it. Would you give them the license to be real, to be open, to be broken, God, before you? You don't despise it. It says, your word says that. Praise God. Lord, you will never cast us away when we come to you in humility and say, I messed up. I need you. I need you. I need you. And Father, I can't help but to think that there is people here today that have been holding on for too long, that have been running or been hiding for too long. And God, I can't help but to think that you're just calling them and saying, it is time. It's time to drop the act. It's time to drop all of that and simply come. So Lord, I pray specifically for those people right now, God. I pray that you would move in their heart in such an undeniable way as we talked about earlier. And I pray that you would let them know again that you're a God who loves, that you're a God who's relentlessly pursuing after them. You're the hound of heaven. Would you be with us as we worship you, as we respond in worship. We thank you again for who you are, for who you've made us to be, and for cleansing us. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.